We're talking with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Pork Council. Roy Lee, let's maybe talk about some things that are, obviously there's quite a few things going on within animal agriculture right now. One of them is this challenge, if you want to call it that, with plant-based protein. We've seen a lot of the things happen at this point, maybe more with burgers than anything else. But now we've got the Impossible Meat industry looking at Impossible Pork. And pork industry seems to have a little heartburn over that.
Well, yeah, I mean, quite simply, for it to be pork, it has to come from a pig. It can't be labeled pork if it didn't come from a pig. That's real simple. So, yeah, Impossible Pork is impossible. If you want to call it plant-based protein, you want to label it as such, that's fine. We're not afraid of competing with other products. But you're not going to build your reputation off of the reputation we have and the products we've sold. And for generations, pork has come from a pig. And when you use that word, the consumer knows what it is. They know what they're buying. And we shouldn't be confusing that just because you want to put a different adjective in front of it.
The reality is that we've got those out there now. Cultured meat is going to be from, you know, as far as a meat that's developed from some cells of hopefully an animal of some sort is going to be out there as well. That'll be the next frontier. It's maybe a few years still down the road. How does the pork industry want to navigate those aspects and those products?
Yeah, I think we'll continue to watch lab-cultured protein to see how that evolves. I think we're still years from seeing lab-cultured protein be cost-effective enough that you would see it in the store. And how that's labeled, I think for us the piece is we think all of those kinds of products, whether it's plant-based, lab-cultured, whatever, number one, should be subject to the same kinds of food safety, the same kinds of regulatory oversight that we have in terms of producing the pork chop or the sausage link that you had for breakfast today. We think they deserve and should have that same regulatory oversight that we deal with. We think the consumers should expect that and demand the same kind of regulatory oversight to make sure that the products they're getting are inspected, they're labeled, they're all of the things that they're accustomed to getting when they're buying a pork chop, when they're buying a pork tenderloin. The same thing should apply to anyone who wants to make a plant-based or some other substitute for meat from an animal. You ought to meet those same regulatory standards that we do.
As we look at some of the other issues of the day, trade really comes to mind for sure. We've got a multitude of things that are being juggled right now, whether you're talking about the Japanese deal that is now in place, whether you're talking about USMCA, which is very close to final ratification, or China. Pork industry is really involved in all those.
Yeah, so let's start with Japan. That's where you started your list. And I think it's very exciting for us to see that the trade deal with Japan that went into effect January 1 basically sets our tariffs, our quota rates, the same as they are for every other, all of our competitors around the world. We had been, with the withdrawal of the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership and other countries going ahead and finishing TPP and TPP-like agreements, we were behind in terms of we were paying a higher quota. We had a smaller quota, higher tariffs, etc. Now we're all on the same playing field. And I just was looking, believe it or not, we're still the lowest cost provider of pork around the world. And if you give us a level playing field, we know we will compete and compete well globally as far as trade. So when Japan is our first or second market by value and volume, getting on that level playing field with folks from around the world gives us a leg up and will help us, I think, hopefully restore some of that market share that we had been slowly losing because we were at a different rate. We were paying higher rates and the quota was different based on the TPP and on TPP-like agreement. So very positive when you talk about Japan. USMCA, maybe the finish line's in sight. We don't see any issues with it passing in the Senate, but until they all push the button and vote, we still will cross our fingers and hope. Our congressional delegation, all throughout the delegation, all five members in the House voted for USMCA when it went through the House. We expect that Senators Langford and Inhofe will also vote for it. They've expressed support for the agreement. And we greatly appreciate their efforts to get this to the finish line. Without champions in Congress, without champions in the Senate saying these deals are important for Oklahoma, they're important for the United States, this thing might still be languishing out there. And so we appreciate the leadership that both Senators Inhofe and Langford have given us on this, and we're really excited about getting us back and formally getting us back to zero tariffs on pork going into Mexico, zero tariffs on pork going into Canada. Again, that's two of our top four markets. Mexico's number one in volume and or value, back and forth, number two in the other. Canada's our fourth largest market for exports. So we're looking at right now three of our top four, as of maybe the end of this week, having us back at tariff levels that give us an advantage, I think, long term, make us more competitive around the world.
Now on Mexico, I guess that's all about hams, right, as much as anything?
Predominantly, yeah. We send an awful lot of fresh ham to Mexico. And for Oklahoma, that's really important. The processing plant in Guymon is the closest plant in the country to Mexico. And so we send an awful lot of product to Mexico that they then take fresh hams and convert it into other cuts that they use that are predominant in Hispanic culture that maybe we don't use here in the United States. But it adds tremendous value to the value of that market hog, the ability for folks to use cuts. That's what trade really does for us when we think about pork going into trade. Most of what we're selling into trade are products that we're not using. An awful lot of the value comes from products that we don't use here. And so it's not competing necessarily for the pork chop that you buy at the grocery store, but it's selling them goods that otherwise have very little value in the United States. But when we can export them, it adds tremendous value to the overall carcass, makes every pig worth more money. Everyone benefits when we can sell more product around the world in trade. And that's whether you're the small guy raising show pigs and selling a market hog to your neighbor, or you're the guy that's got the largest hog producer in the country. Everybody benefits from trade because the value of all the animals goes up.
Right.
And then you mentioned China, and we'll see. They're supposed to be in Washington next week for signing of this Phase One trade agreement. We still don't know what exactly that agreement says, but if it includes purchases of pork, if it includes purchases of ag goods, the one thing we know for certain is that China has a deficit in pork right now. They are really struggling as a result of African swine fever and what it's done to the Chinese hog herd. They're going to have to buy pork. And as I said a minute ago, we are the least cost provider in the world. If this Phase One agreement takes some of those tariffs off of U.S. pork, I saw a report, I think this morning, that said on a live weight basis, hogs in the United States are about 37 cents a pound. Live hogs in China are $2.20 a pound equivalent. So there's no comparison what that value is. If you get our tariffs down, where we're not paying a 72% tariff on pork going into China, we have tremendous opportunity to capture a significant amount of that market. I can't tell you that's long term, but I think the opportunity exists. And right now, with the tariffs we're paying, it really puts us at a disadvantage compared to some of our competitors around the globe. If this trade deal does something with those tariffs, or if they just make commitments to buy U.S. pork as part of a larger commitment to buy ag goods here in the country, we know they need pork, and we've got it, and we'd love to sell it to them. So tremendous opportunity for us as well there.
Executive Director of OK Pork, Roy Lee Lindsay. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.